These are always anxious to accumulate wealth for their sense gratification, but for that purpose they must work very hard. Yet even though they work hard, the results are not satisfying. Indeed, sometimes their work results only in frustration. But devotees who have dedicated their lives to the service of the Lord can achieve substantial results without working very hard. These results exceed the devotees' expectations. Perfect. We can practically see how the devotees who have dedicated their lives for the service of the Lord in the Krishna conscious movement are getting immense opportunities for the service of the Supreme Personality Godhead without working very hard. The Krishna conscious movement is actually started with only 40 rupees, but now it has more than 40 crores worth of property, and all this opulence has been achieved within 8 or 10 years. No dharmi can expect to improve his business so swiftly, and besides that, whatever a dharmi acquires is temporary and sometimes frustrating. In Krishna consciousness, however, everything is encouraging and improving. The Krishna consciousness movement is not very popular with the dharmis, because this movement recommends that one refrain from illicit sex, beauty, and gambling, and intoxication. These are restrictions that the karmis very much dislike. Nonetheless, in the presence of so many enemies, this movement is progressing, going forward without impediments. If the devotees continue to spread this movement, dedicating life and soul to the lotus feet of Krishna, no one will be able to check it. The movement will go forward without limits. Chant Hare Krishna. Om again, Shivananda Syaya, Yavandana Saratya, Chakshur, Nimitanya, Tajumai, Sri Guru Deva. So Prabhupada is always enthusing us, pushing us forward. If the devotees continue to spread this movement, dedicating life and soul to the lotus feet of Krishna, no one will be able to check it. So continuing from the last time we were here, long time ago, we'd like to talk about dedicating life and soul to the lotus feet of Krishna. Is it possible? Is it indeed a worthy goal? Sometimes it seems these things are in question. And it's a bit bewildering. Sometimes we see those who have been around for some years moving aside a bit, and then new ones come along. And the older ones wonder, how long will it be before they realize they don't have to be so fired up? And the new ones, they take to Krishna consciousness with great enthusiasm, as they should. But after a while, they may wonder, is it inevitable that everyone falls back under the crushing of the material? No, it doesn't have to be like that. We don't have to lose our enthusiasm. As long as our goal is to dedicate life and soul to the lotus feet of Krishna. Dedicating life and soul to the lotus feet of Krishna means dedication to devotional service. What is the purpose of this temple here? To teach devotional service and to give opportunities for devotional service. If we lose sight of that, then everything becomes very hard to understand, and everything seems to be on a burden. Now they want me to do this, now they want me to do that. Who is the one who is asking me to do something now? First it was this one, now it's that one. First they come into this service, then it's that service. What do they think I am, a new devotee who surrenders? I've been around for a while now, I know you don't have to surrender. What do they want out of me? Krishna wants devotional service of all of us. If we do not serve Krishna's spiritual energy, we will serve Krishna's material energy. And in this verse, you hear about what happens when you serve material energy. You become always anxious to accumulate wealth for sense gratification. Now you might say, well, it's not that I want to be wealthy, but I do want some money to live comfortably. Nevertheless, whether you are wanting so-called a lot of wealth or a little, the anxiety is there. How to get money to live comfortably. That is the result of dedicating your life to the material energy. Your consciousness becomes filled with anxiety. What to do to make the body comfortable. And, as pointed out further in this verse, for this purpose you must work very hard. The objects of the senses depend on extremely hard labor. That's the way this world is constructed. If you want to try and enjoy the material sex objects, you must work very hard. Sometimes our devotees forget how much toil is involved in the 9-to-5 standard working world. You have to work under a boss who you don't like, with co-workers who you don't like. The goal and mission of the whole company or store or business that you work for has nothing to do with the uplifting of humanity. Many times it's the opposite. But you submit to that because you have a purpose. Either you simply want money to live comfortably, or else if you're a devotee, you're wanting to support your family of devotees, which is indeed your responsibility. And, of course, you also want to support the spreading of Krishna consciousness. It is not recommended in any scriptures by any acharya to use all your earned money simply for family maintenance. That is not bhakti. Some or other, one must execute some kind of transcendental principle and work in such a way that Krishna is satisfied. Many times devotees say, but our wages, they're just not sufficient to do all we want to do and to support Krishna consciousness too. From the material point of view, it may seem like that, but we should try somehow or other to adhere to the spiritual principle of not simply working for family maintenance, because then it's such a crime, so boring. Even if our family, members are devotees, still simply working for family maintenance really burns one's consciousness out, because it's not work as it's meant to be done. Of course, the Shastra says, prana, artai, via, vacha. There are different things you can give Krishna. So time, in the Western world, we have that expression, time is money. So if one is working, yet the fruits of one's labor are so little that, oh, I wish I could give something to help the person, but I can't. Then one should give time. That is a sacrifice. Give time in devotional service. Because in Western civilization, everything is measured by time. The clock is running. So many jobs are paid by the clock. So you, if your salary is not big enough, then you feel, for you to feel you can give a few pennies to Krishna, then at least work so that you'll have enough free time to give to Krishna and do the original service. What is the point of devotional service? The point of devotional service is to please Krishna. When you perform devotional service, you gradually get realization of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You get realization of your eternal spiritual identity. Sometimes we forget. We don't remember why we are doing devotional service. We get lost in a whole maze of sociological interpretations. Who is telling me to do what service? What service are they telling me to do? So on and so forth. And in this way, the whole thing becomes a drudgery. It loses its vitality, so to speak. Not that devotional service ever loses its vitality, but our perception of it suffers. And then we become very cranky, we lose our enthusiasm, we become irritable, and we are empowered by Maya to come up with endless excuses why we cannot do devotional service. You get what you want. If you want Krishna to empower you to see endless opportunities for serving Krishna, Krishna will do that. And if you want the Lord to empower you, viable material energy. It's just the end of opportunity how to avoid service, and that will happen. So we want a temple which is always inducing devotees to beg the Lord for opportunities for service. That is why we have human bodies. Pallad Maharaj, as you all know, said, Komara, Atrit, Prajo, Dhamman, Prayavadayana, Durabha, Manasam, Janma, Parakta, Durabha. From the very beginning of life, the Komara stage, for a very young child, you should perform devotional service. Although this human body is temporary, it has meaning in that with it you can perform devotional service. That is why this human body. And devotional service is very natural. Sometimes we think that it's kind of a strange, kind of artificial, something imposed on us from without, because we may be trying for some external spiritual goal, therefore they impose this external devotional service on us, and it's all like a burden you have to put up with. Now, devotional service is natural. Material life is artificial. And that's what this verse is explaining. In order to participate in the rat race of material existence, you must work very hard, and the results, even if you get them, are not satisfying. That is not your natural condition. But devotional service is natural. Why? Because Krishna, Pallad Maharaj explains, Krishna is three things. He's our Priya, our beloved. Krishna is Atmaitra, he's the master of the soul. And Krishna is Suhit, our best friend. So Pallad is trying to convince his schoolmates there is nothing more natural than to do devotional service. Now the question is, why do we not feel that way? Because we are covered, polluted by material energy. We think that devotional service is some onerous, cantankerous thing, you know, like being bitten by a mosquito or a bee or something, you know, it's such an uncomfortable thing you have to go through. And when we start thinking like that, unfortunately, we try to take shelter of other persons and associate with other persons to reinforce that understanding. Yeah, you really can't be that fire anymore. Yeah, I mean, everybody cools down after a while. You got to think about yourself. But Pallad says, if you're thinking about yourself, then you'll do devotional service, because the self is Krishna's servant. Pallad Maharaj also explains in the Seventh Canto that because Krishna is our original father, there is no difficulty in establishing a relationship with Krishna. Just like relationship between mother and child, father and child, there's no difficulty. Look at how it's said. There's no difficulty in relating to his mother. He feels quite comfortable. It's natural. He's sitting on the lap, very snug, contented, knowing he's in his right position. That is the way we should feel about devotional service. It's natural. It's the thing to do. Everything else is unnatural. But somehow or other, we easily become subjected to propaganda from our own mind and others that devotional service, I mean, it's a good idea, you know. It's a really good notion. And we really like to preach about it to the karmis. But for ourselves, we've got to be realistic. The main thing is that we know that devotional service should be done. That's the thing. We know that it should be done. That's the difference between us and the others. We know that devotional service should be done. And one day we're going to do it. But for right now, I mean, we have so many things we have to get done in a short amount of time. In this way, we forget Pallad Maharaj's statement that devotional service is a natural activity of the soul. There's no difficulty in establishing one's relationship, re-establishing one's relationship with Krishna, just like the child has no difficulty in prosecuting a relationship with the parent. Now, what makes devotional service appear difficult? Because we forget why we're doing it. We are trying to realize, isn't that why we all came to Krishna consciousness? We didn't simply want religious theory. We want spiritual realization. We want to experience Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the reservoir of pleasure. We want perception of Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. And the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, only by devotional service can I be understood. But sometimes we forget that we're supposed to be trying to understand Krishna. We forget that, and then we forget why we're doing devotional service. And very shortly thereafter, we forget all about devotional service. This is a great problem. Therefore, our temples should always be enthusing both the new devotees and the old devotees in the glories of devotional service. Here, Prabhupada is talking about how in the Krishna consciousness movement, the devotees, they don't have to work so hard, yet Krishna blesses them with amazing things when they dedicate life and soul to the lotus feet of Krishna. So it is a fact. You know, you can go over devotees' schedules and sometimes they think, I've got so much to do. I've got so much service to do. I'm working so hard. But I know so many of you are in that category. Don't mean to neglect any, but I'm always hearing how Hanuman and Yogamaya, they're working so hard. That is a great privilege, a great opportunity to plunge all your senses into devotional service. That opportunity is not simply good for the brahmacharis or sannyasis, it's meant for everyone. Prahlada Maharaj is a young boy, 5 years old, he's speaking like that. It is a fact that the more service we have, the better. But as Prabhupada is pointing out in this purport, we really don't work as hard as the materialists. When you analyze it, we don't. I don't know when's the last time you talked to people who work in the material world and are really serious about it. You know. They practically have no time for anything. Executives or politicians or doctors or anyone who is really trying to achieve fruitive results in this world, they must work very hard. And they get up early in the morning, not really early, but for them it's early. They just get out of bed, wolf down a few pieces of toast, a couple of eggs, and a couple of cups of coffee. Immediately, they must go to work. Work all day, come home in the evening, tired. Watch TV, listen to all the family problems, crash out. Especially in the higher paying jobs of society, executives, lawyers, doctors, you just don't work a 40-hour week. You can't keep up in that way. You'll be fired. It's a rat race. You have to put in so much extra time. And then to try to hold the family together while having big career goals. So difficult. So much time is involved. You have to manage your home, manage your finances, maintain the home, maintain the cars, maintain the video sets and the stereo sets and all the household appliances, blah, 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 blah. Then you're supposed to maintain a good relationship with your wife or husband and the kids on top of all that. You got no time. Hard work. And what's the only pay you get? Only so-called reward you get for all this complication, hard labor, both at home and at work, constant negotiations. What's the only reward you get? Well, you get a little pinch of sex pleasure, right? That's all. You'll probably get kicked in the process. That's all. And then the next morning, next day you get to read magazines and newspapers, which makes you think that everybody else is enjoying the nectar of sex life except you. Puts you in even more anxiety. You're sure that everyone else is tasting the nectar of sex life, but you're just, you know, some other, it's not happening in your home. And this way you become filled with even more anxiety. Everyone else is getting all the pleasure, not me. And then you wonder, is it all worth it? Maybe you might just ditch all this and start another relationship, or have another relationship on the side, there'll be some more pleasure in my life. And everybody is doing like that. Abai Charan in Hamilton, he's a former Allen, he's a social benefits investigator who supervises the whole team. Well, I think two supervisors in New Zealand supervise whole teams of investigators. Make sure no one fraudulently taking social benefits. So, this is, I guess, it's considered a kind of a very good bureaucratic post. So he works in the office with other bureaucrats and their staff. You would think, oh, they're all very nice people trying to make for honesty in government, honesty in the people. What goes on? He says, the home life is one thing and the work life is another. Everybody's got their home life, their families at home, but during the work day, they have a whole different universe of relationships. And, you know, everybody's always kind of tearing off from time to time, disappearing into lonely rooms. And then they go home and smile at their husband and wife, like, oh, I'm back. It's another universe. There's work life and home life. And you have a completely different sets of relationships in these two different worlds. In fact, part of working, he explained, part of working in office, in a job situation, is to provide yourself with another set of relationships to relieve the boredom at home. That's a big part of working. You get to meet other persons, other men, other women. And then you go home and you can better deal with that same freak who's at home, who you married and thought you're going to be happy with, but now you realize you won't be happy with the person. But there's kids now, so you got to slug your way through it as best you can. This is materializing. Nothing glamorous about serving the loose energy. And we certainly don't work that hard. You see, when you're going to evaluate how hard your field has worked, you've got to take the whole picture into account. They work at the job and at home too. Very, a lot of labor to maintain a house, maintain food. All this with no relation to Krishna. But because devotees, whether they're single or householders, because they are supposed to live in relationships to Krishna, they actually don't work so hard. When we chant our japa, that's not work. When we take prasad, that's not work. When we sit down and hear Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, that's not work. But sometimes our own devotees, they forget that. They think these things are a drudgery. Well, now I've got to chant. Now I've got to go to class. Now I've got to see the TV. And after a while, in bad association, they begin to realize we don't have to do all that. Especially householders, we have so many things we must do. So it's all right if we don't do that other work of hearing and chanting about Krishna. And this way you can't understand Prabhupada's point here, that devotees who have dedicated their lives to the service of the Lord can achieve substantial results without working very hard. This is not work, hearing and chanting about Krishna, taking prasad, associating with devotees. It's not work. So even our householders who are working jobs in order to support their families as devotees and in order to contribute to the precinct, they don't work as hard as materialists. Sometimes we lose sight of why we're serving Krishna. We're supposed to be realizing Krishna. We're not just ritualistic followers of religion. We want to understand our ship name and form, wow, these pastimes. Just like in the second canto, when the Lord told Brahma, when Brahma had completed his meditation on the lotus flower. Because, you know, in the beginning, Lord Brahma, he appeased these woke up on the lotus flower, and he did not know what to do, could not see anything around him, could not understand where the lotus flower came from. He tried to understand all this, speculating this way and that way. And then he heard the word tapa. The Lord spoke to him, just practice austerity. The Lord Brahma did that atop the lotus flower. And then the Lord revealed the truth of Srimad Bhagavatam to him. And the Lord told him, all of me, my color, my activity, my qualities, let them become revealed to you, because you have pleased me with your non-duplicitous devotional service. What does it mean to render non-duplicitous devotional service? It means, I just want to please Krishna. I'm not trying to get something for myself. I want to give pleasure to the Lord. And when the Lord is pleased, he will reveal himself to me. You know, sometimes, everywhere you go, you meet devotees who claim, well, I had a bad experience when I tried to serve Krishna. There was a bad authority over me. There was bad management. There were very austere situations. I got sick. My health became ruined while doing devotional service. Therefore, I can't give my heart now. I can't invest the core of my existence in bhakti right now. But you see, we should not be attached to the results, the material results of whether our service appears to be successful or not, but evaluated from the material point of view. We are trying to believe Krishna. We should never forget that. Therefore, in all circumstances, whether there seems to be success or failure from our service, we should go on doing devotional service. In Ramlila, Jatayu, the bird devotee of Lord Ram, he failed, didn't he? Did he stop Ravana? You all know? No, he was killed while trying to stop Ravana from capturing Sita. Isn't that failure? Isn't that disaster? When Lord Ram finally arrived on the scene, Jataya was in his dying moment. And with his dying breath, he told Lord Ram that Sita had been taken by Ravana and then died. And Lord Ram performed his funeral ceremony. The Supreme Personality of Godhead performed the funeral ceremony for his own devotee, the great devotee, Jataya. He pleased the Lord, although from the material point of view, he failed. But from the real point of view, the spiritual point of view, Krishna accepted his service. So that is our concern. Will Krishna accept my service? Because I want to understand Krishna. I want to please Krishna. We are not karmis trying to please ourselves, and we are not jnanis simply trying to acquire dry metaphysical understanding. We want to please Krishna. We want to understand Krishna. The more we understand about Krishna, the more fixed the devotional service will be. Now, how many of you here are going to let somebody talk you out of a chance to understand Krishna? Anyone? Now, how many of you here will let someone talk you out of rendering devotional service? There is 100% connection between devotional service and understanding Krishna. And we should never regret having performed devotional service. Even though there are always tough situations in this material world, no one ever told you otherwise. Trying to be Krishna conscious in this material world is an uphill struggle. But working as a karmi is also an uphill struggle. Even if for a while you're successful in fruitive activity, for a slight discrepancy, you can lose everything. So many politicians serve their country with great dedication, and then for a slight discrepancy, they were thrown out of office, even assassinated. Husbands serve their wives, and wives serve their husbands with great dedication, and seem to be successful. And then in the moment's notice, one's married partner has an affair, the whole marriage crashes apart, the children are distressed. That's the way of material activity. Just for a slight discrepancy, it all. Someone can become envious of you, and overnight your fortunes are reversed. The working world was full of envy because the material world was full of envy. Or the company decides to lay off, retire some of its employees due to some sudden change in the world market. And what can you do? Just like I was talking to Pio up at his farm, and he had some plans how to support himself very nicely from selling wool from the sheep. Very nice plan. But then, because the world is outside of your control, the wool prices went down. Why? Because the Chinese did not become big buyers as they had in previous years. They stayed away from the market, and therefore all the wool prices were low. So you make your plan, but the world goes its own way. Of course, for a devotee's responsibility is simply to try his best to serve Krishna. And then what happens is that it goes to Krishna. But when you're a materialist, you don't think like that. You're in complete anxiety. Oh no, the wool prices are low. My whole life is ruined. Just for some slight discrepancy, all our material activities are spoiled. But devotional service, on the contrary, just a little bit of devotional service does amazing things. We'll hear about that tomorrow. Prabhupada speaking in the purport tomorrow about Ajamil. Showing you very brilliantly how even a little bit of service done unconsciously produces amazing results. Whereas material life means, after such hard labor over so many years, just a tiny mistake and the whole thing is ruined. So we want to talk it up amongst ourselves about the glories of devotional service. How we're going to understand Krishna through bhakti yoga. That is the duty of the brahmacharis and the grihasthas to perform bhakti yoga. We should not allow anyone to make us feel exempted from bhakti yoga. It is natural to serve Krishna. The human body only has meaning for devotional service. That's what Prahlad Maharaj teaches us. If we don't understand Krishna, we'll remain embedded within the material energy, filled with lust, anger, greed, and envy. But if we begin to understand Krishna, then we will be attracted to the glories of the spiritual world and we'll be able to resist the lower urges. Otherwise, it's impossible. And this is why, in case you're wondering, this is why sometimes devotees who have been around for a while, it seems, they get into trouble because they've forgotten what is devotional service for. They lose sight of the spiritual goal and they slip back into the clutches of the material energy. We are meant to become excited about the spiritual world, about understanding Krishna's pastime, getting a taste for Krishna's name. That hope impels us forward in devotional service, and it is not an unfounded hope. It will happen. Through service, we will understand Krishna more, and then we should include others to understand Krishna more. That is what a real ashram life is about, no matter what ashram you're in. Let us become enthusiastic about devotional service and enthuse others. It can be done. We need householders who can demonstrate. It can be done. All these excuses and all these other rationalizations, it's all brouhaha. It can be done. Especially here in Christchurch, we need a mighty pup service, the devotional service army. especially the householders. You should take very seriously the mission here and realize that the greatest thing that needs to happen right now is powerful examples, especially set by the householder devotees and the older members of the Christ Church Jatha. The banner of devotional service needs to be held up high again, because there's been a lot of forgetfulness, a lot of age. You really don't have to do it then. You know, anyway, the main thing is you've got to get your life together, and then sometime in the future you can serve again. And sometime in the future, you may never see the future in this body. There's no question one has to meet household responsibility. No question of that. But it is possible to be devotional service. That is the thing that cannot be sacrificed. Everything else can be sacrificed. But everything is in your hands. Devotional service is not a drudgery. It's not something done to please ourselves, to show our great abilities, how competent and expert and efficient we are. We want to show Krishna how we're trying to please him, to what little competence and efficiency we have. Even though it's only a little, we're giving it all to Krishna. And we want Krishna to be pleased. We want to understand Krishna. We want Krishna to reveal himself to us. We want the pastimes, the color, the fame, the name of the Lord to become vibrant within us. And we know that if I simply try to please Krishna in devotional service, that will happen. It will. So we should not become forgetful of these things. We should inspire one another about these things, both old and young devotees. A good practice for the older devotees is to pick out a younger devotee with that fresh enthusiasm and imitate the attitude of the younger devotee. That's what I do. That's how you stay ever fresh in devotional service. Because sometimes you may take bhakti for granted. You may get lost in the sociological understandings of everything and really dry out. Forget you're supposed to be serving Krishna and understanding Krishna. Yes, there are sociological realities, but these things are temporary and minor. So by concentrating on a new devotee, that enthusiasm, that what you might call naive cheerfulness. It's not naive, it is Krishna's mercy. And we should also want that new freshness and new exuberance. We don't want to take Krishna for granted. Well, I've been around here for 10 years. I've seen things come and go, people come and go, management changes, this, that. You know, I know how it is. I just don't get that fired up about it anymore, you know. Maybe you just got to make sure your own life is progressing some kind of way. Make sure the bills are being paid. Make sure your car will last another few months. Make sure the gold keeps coming in. That's amazing. No. Look at a new devotee. See how they are eager. And then you say, I will have that same attitude. Because Krishna life is there. You don't have to dry out just because you're an older devotee. You should be having more fun. No, you use your intelligence, you know. Start observing a new devotee and then begin to imitate him or her. Just get enthusiastic about everything. Whenever someone asks you to do something, try to say yes. Chant Hare Krishna with great excitement and enthusiasm. And you'll find it works. You don't have to be old and gray in attitude. The body will become old and gray, but we don't have to become old and gray in attitude. So we all need to help one another. Rescue the banner of devotional service. Hold it high. We need to enthuse one another. We want to serve Krishna. We want to understand Krishna. Come on, let's go. Okay. You may have your family, I have my family, there's certain things we got to do, we got to fix the roof, or we got to fix the car, but the main thing is we're going to serve Krishna. And if the householders would have that attitude, then you see that things would be easier. You realize Prabhupada's point about how you're actually not working very hard, because most of the things you're doing become a joy, because Krishna's in the center. It's not really work. Our material desires limit us. We're so fickle. In the wrong association, our material desires overpower us. Our material analyses overpower us. And in the right association, those things go away. Association is very important. Not only for the new devotees, but also for the older devotees. Especially amongst the householders, you know. They all have this great line amongst themselves. Communications network. Is she here? So and so. She tried to serve Krishna, she got burned out. She was doing too much service. I mean, they just don't understand, you know, that the authorities don't understand. Anyway, the authorities are maintaining, and what's the point? Is just trying to get it all at all, just look out for yourself. All about saying Hari Bol at the same time. Devotional service is never performed in vain. You're trying to please Krishna. Yes, to preach in this material world, to establish and push on a preaching mission in this world is difficult. Like Prabhupada's writing in this purport. In the presence of so many enemies, this movement is progressing, going forward without impediment. So it is a fact that there are inconveniences, that's part of the austerity. There are disappointments. Things in this world often don't go as we want. We want everybody to be Krishna conscious. It doesn't happen all the time. Yet, if we simply go on trying to understand Krishna by serving Krishna, we will need to let the deeper and deeper realization of Krishna's glory. And that's what it means to be a devotee. To love Krishna's glory, to get deeper and deeper understanding of Krishna's glory. Ultimately, what is the goal? Just to do service for the sake of doing it. Like the residents of Vrindavan. They don't even know that Krishna's God. They're just so spontaneously attracted. The gopis, they were not scholars. Yet they conquered Krishna with their love. Of course, we do need knowledge of Krishna. That's why Prabhupada has written so many books. Naturally, you don't part of it, you jump to the highest level. Any other questions? Oh, when you stopped and everybody said, how come you stopped when you were doing it and never said anything? Yes, it's wonderful to have the encouragement of devotees. Sometimes that's there, sometimes not there, though. But you have to be convinced by studying Prabhupada's books that you should be pleasing Krishna. And the devotional service brings you Krishna's satisfaction. It's your responsibility to have that conviction. Maybe your service goes unnoticed for years by others. But if you simply go on, Christians will become police. That you have to know. It's like you're a riverbed.
How many devotees know you must bury them looking to cook and begin the restaurant and maintain a family to save the time? Do they really know?
You should know that devotional service is never unnoticed by Krishna. You should know that. Did you know? Why not? Why don't you know that? That's true. It is a fact that there's more encouragement than getting, but I'm also emphasizing another angle, that regardless of whether there's encouragement or not, you have to know what the mission of human life is. You have to be convinced of the value of emotional service.
Thank you.